Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Gillian Mon, Heather Hartwell, MJ Erickson, Samantha Dordy, Michelle Banquid, Sarah Williams, Jakob Jakobsen, Stephen Gerhardt, Murray, Trish M. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to episode 92 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
And Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Chris Optrick at Amsterdam.
Hamid Slahun Altahan.
Sasha Rackett.
Azu.
And the party's almost not split three ways.
I mean, it kind of is.
So close.
It is.
But it basically still is.
I don't know, like, I wouldn't say that out loud, because Lydia might decide that Sasha sneaks off instead of joining the fight.
Yeah. She's only known these guys like a week.
Yeah.
Look, like I can magically, in the real world, summon one natural one per episode. I'm happy to use it on Sasha getting away. I used it on Ben to make sure that a bar brawl happened, and I'm happy to use it here to make sure Sasha doesn't get away.
It's one of his powers, his feats as a GM.
I can make anything
fail. Once you hit episode 90... On episode 30, he was just able to dodge thrown dice.
I took evade plot. No, sorry, that was what you did, isn't it?
Yeah, it was great.
So,
I tried. Repeated castings of invisibility.
I mean, aren't you glad that I took half emotional damage from some of the stuff that you made go down in Paris?
I mean, it would have made slowed... Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Anyway.
Yes.
Sasha is hidden in a bar called The Pharaoh. Azu and Grizzop are making a scene in a bar called The Pharaoh. And Hamid is currently finding out that his father is so problematic and a little bit more complicated than just being rubbish. And I am going to pick up with the combat that we left off last time, specifically Azu Grizzop.
Yeah, I was facing off against two guys.
Yes, you were. So... I believe I'm, for the sake of my own sanity, it's been more than a minute since the initiative happened, so I'm going to go back to the top of the initiative order if it's okay with everyone. Grizzop, you're up.
Right, yes. So I'm going to scoot out from behind the table that was placed in front of me.
You use the scoot action, okay.
Yep,
take on the condition.
Scooted.
And the thug that threw a chair at me, I'm going to point the bow at his face. And then quickly go down to his knees and pop one off in each of his knees.
Oh, take the attacks.
That's a nat 20.
So, roll to confirm the crit first.
Yep.
So that's a crit.
And then the other knee is an 18.
That's a hit as well. So there's a crit and a hit.
Cool. So the critical... 8, 9, 10. And then the non-crit, 5. Oh, it's times 3. Goodness me.
I'm going to take it as read, but if you're aiming for his knees, you're probably not trying to immediately murder someone.
You amputate his leg by him.
Yeah.
You amputate both.
Oh, my word.
Do you have a thing about...
Let's put it this way. I don't. He made this happen. What? This has all come from Ben.
What? No,
his characters, his attacks.
It's an arrow.
You...
Like one, maybe because of the critical, but both?
You absolutely annihilate this person and they drop.
I didn't even call a shot.
They drop.
Like mechanically, I wasn't allowed, shouldn't have been able to do that.
But... It's almost like you've left the low, lowly levels and headed into the heady heights.
Okay.
There might be some scraps of flesh, but basically, okay, that ain't getting healed.
At this point, I do that and go, oh, sorry!
The fight erupts around. You still have a third attack if you...
No. I didn't do my... otherwise, I'd have had a much lower...
Gotcha. The one that you're facing off against is already gone. Azu, you're up. Grizzop just murked someone.
Yeah,
just
but
straight up murked someone.
I've got my back to him, so I don't know.
Also, before people complain, mechanically, Grizzop leaned out from total cover, fired, and leaned back into total cover. There's a table in front of you.
I don't care.
I know, but you know that someone
take
out there
the condition
does.
Popped.
So, sorry, what do you do, Azu?
Okay, so I've got two people who just tried to throw things at me and then missed. I don't want to, like, cut them with the great axe. I just want to, like, bash them with it.
So there's a thing we can do which is called basically trying to deal non-lethal.
Yeah.
Where you're effectively, you're smacking them with the flat of the blade.
Yeah.
You take a small penalty on the attack. I'll be honest, unless anyone here is a really formidable opponent, it won't make a difference. Because you're quite good.
Okay.
So you can just say, I want to attack non-lethally and I will make the maths happen.
Okay, then I just want to bonk them both on the head.
Okay.
Okay.
Roll me a bonk attack.
That's 18.
Hit.
Consider themselves bonked.
One of them has been bonked.
28 somehow?
Yeah, they're extremely bonked.
You have a very high attack bonus.
Do you have a second attack as well?
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you want to use that? Roll the attack for the second bonk?
Okay. Bonk one successful. Bonk two also successful, I guess?
19.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was bonk one for no, bonk two for yes. They are both now bonked. Roll damage, which is going to be just hideous.
Okay, so that's 9.
And again?
12.
They both are bonked into oblivion. You have bonked them and both of them fall unconscious.
Bonk me.
Thank you for that addition, Ellie.
You're welcome.
Some people worry. Yeah. 91 episodes in, maybe things will slow down. Maybe the jokes won't be quite so quick and fast, but they were wrong.
No, we got them. The wordplay, you thought only James Ross had. But now I'm bringing it.
We can mix nonsense.
Well, we bonk to differ.
So, yes, you have successfully taken out two.
Okay.
I am going to roll a check on something. Could both of you give me a sense motive on the fly?
A bonk well done. Job well bonked, so I get on Tinder.
What's that?
That is a one.
As you can't read a room.
I think that's a 7.
That was a 7.
Really?
It's just a bad dice.
Oh, okay. It's a 7.
Oh,
this is me getting on Tinder. Rolled a 1. No, mate, that's my life. That's my life. You got a 7.
13 for me.
What do I add?
Sense motive, which is down in the scales.
Oh, hey, so that's 18.
Really?
So.
11 in sense motive.
Both of you know that you have so swiftly dispatched 3 of them that the rest, because, you know, grumps don't tend to, like, last in terms of morale, you might actually be able to just get them all to back off by sheer being a badass.
Okay.
Like, they're not a coherent unit, and you might just be able to scare them away.
You shot a man's legs off. They want to shoot
Grizzop,
man's legs.
You're up. You just shot a man's legs off.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to run to the gun. Drop my gun.
You are not helping terrifying the thugs into submission.
Run
carry
to,
on.
Run to the guy. Grab both his legs.
Oh! Wait, they're separate from his body now.
Yeah.
They're still basically there.
Oh, okay,
carry on.
Okay,
the critted one is definitely separate.
So just squish them kind of back into things, and then lay on hands to try and put them back again. Be like, sorry, I'm really sorry. I really meant to be that. What, a warning? Not
roll the cure
stuff.
Check.
Heal check.
Heal check, sorry, not cure.
Lay on hands. I mean, he's had his fatigue cured as well. Five damage.
You don't really manage to, like, manifest a huge, enormous amount of healing.
Yeah,
you cure his hangover.
Oh!
To just add, if I'm not, like, murdered next turn, I'm just going to pump another one into him.
Azu, you're up. Grizzop is not helping you to intimidate the crowd. He's currently apologising and helping you.
I'm going to attempt to be intimidating.
Okay.
So Azu steps in front of Grizzop to be like, as you have seen, we are formidable warriors.
If this is an intimidation check, whilst you shouldn't be able to intimidate crowds, I disagree with this rule and always say that you can.
Okay.
Roll me the intimidate check before you give me your threat, because if it's a 1, you better be role-playing a 1.
Okay, so I roll a 20.
Yes, d20.
Right, okay. Plus 7 is 8.
No.
Why did you summon your one there?
Our listeners can't see Alex boogieing.
Could you please give me the natural one of trying to intimidate a crowd and doing the worst job you possibly could?
That's a critical
fail. Right up there with trying to look after Sasha with they're there.
That's a lot of critical ones, actually.
Oh, yeah.
For diplomacy?
For diplomacy, nothing but, almost. do the worst
well,
you can.
If you do not step back, we shall de-leg the rest of you.
You hear from the back, get them before they get your legs!
Is Sasha not in this initiative order as well?
I did wrong.
I am about to deal with Sasha, if you will bear with
Translation.
Me.
Translation...
Damn. Okay. Bear with me.
Are their roles garbage?
Maybe. Okay, Azu. I know you've only just started playing this character, but it's time we really discuss what happens if you die. You take 2 damage from a bottle that someone throws from the back of the crowd. We'll get into death saves if there's any kind of issues. Sasha. Can you give me a perception check?
It's 22.
Yeah, it's definitely Grizzop and it's definitely Azu and they're definitely making things worse by the second. All you needed was a moment of peace. You know, it's 50-50. If the thugs here are as good as the thugs that you grew up with, they're in trouble. But, you know, it might be a different class of thug.
So... Sasha would position herself between Azu and Grizzop and the exit, the nearest exit, which may even be a window.
Okay.
The one that Azu can get through.
So
and
this
she,
is where...
I assume, can still move freely because she's not associated
now,
with the paladin.
Well, this is where your crowd dodger comes in.
Ah, yes. I have
would you care to remind listeners, because we're probably going to have some people who have never even heard us mention this because it's not come up for a while.
I have not heard of this.
Well, there
it's
we go.
Not come up since the first episode?
Yeah.
No, it has come up since. But
it's come up a couple of times, but not for a long
time.
No,
it's been useful. It's one of the things that makes my acrobatics a
yes.
thing. Oh. So walk us
through crowd dodger.
Crowd dodger is something she's had from the beginning, which is +2 acrobatics move through creatures' space.
Yeah. So that basically means that if you're trying to, like, do a flip over someone or something, she gets bonuses. But we've also flavoured it that she's actually good at, like,
moving
through crowds.
And melting
Given it's
crowds.
Called crowd dodger, like,
yeah.
it... I'm not going to get you to give a check to move through this crowd. Is what it kind of boils down to.
I mean, you
other
can,
people
would do really well.
Yeah, other
like
people would
plus
have to.
2 plus her acrobatics is 15 bones.
Don't make me humble you. I will. I just don't want.
No,
you have
used
many
his,
times.
Is summon natural ones?
Yeah,
it's true.
You've humbled her a lot.
So you move through the crowd successfully.
Cannon.
Where do you move to exactly? Between
them and the nearest. Is there an entrance that's within? Are they in the middle of? Are we in the middle of a hive of different bars?
Basically, the latter. Ah. They walked right into the middle, going, "Hello, hello, paladins, hello."
Idiots. Okay.
So this is the middle of the bar. That's a lot of chest-high furniture you've got there. Goodness me, a murder hole. Been a long time since I've seen one of that. Like they're not doing well in this environment.
Well, no, we're doing very well in this moment.
Idiots,
but in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Okay, but she's going to move to within, somewhere between where they are and the nearest exit.
That's fine.
Thing.
Yep.
And then, if there's a ringleader, she's going to, of any of the grumps, she's going to come up behind them and hold a knife to its neck and then say, "Call off your lads, they're with me." Except if it's her, so it'd be like, stop it. All of this, make it stop.
Could you... I'm going to roll an intimidate check for that as well,
that's a lot
please.
Of things, but she's...
It's, like, mechanically it works out. Give me an intimidate check for the person that you're currently threatening.
I rolled a 17, but her intimidate is a charisma thing, so it'd be -1. So 16.
16? The guy that you hold, I've gone Cockney. The guy that you hold is definitely intimidated. Do what she says. Do what she says. And you hear the distinct yell of someone else nearby going, "Shut up, Terry." Meanwhile, jumping to Hamid, tonal whiplash. I am not going to play out the entire conversation if you're just listening in for one important reason. No one is interested listening to me talk to myself for ages. How long
I know, it was pretty dramatic last episode.
How long does invisibility last?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. So within those 5 minutes, it seems like the manager who initially resists is actually okay with this as a solution to the problem. It would help deal with a lot of issues. They can't be blamed for a security breach from the person that literally is the head of the bank. Like, that's not their fault, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, it looks like the deal's going to be going through and they're starting to work out the specifics of it. For what it's worth, your father's holding up amazingly well under the emotional strain, but he's kind of doing that iceberg thing you've known so much, which is he lets nothing go and just trusts other people infer that everything's sort of in order. However, the conversation is going to be a long one whilst they work out a lot of specifics, and your invisibility is due to expire quite soon. What are you doing? They're currently discussing like contracts and how they're going to handle this from a PR angle and that kind of thing.
It's just a pretty small, featureless room, isn't it?
You're in a small boardroom.
Well.
Hide under the table.
Yeah.
Be a bulge behind the curtain.
Was that lamp always there? What, the one that's a replica of my son in body but not face because there's a lampshade? Yeah, that one. Yeah, it was always there.
Just stand behind your dad. I'm gonna and wink.
Stand on the table and just point, Jack Hughes!
I am the ghost of Banquo.
I'm just going to secrete myself in the corner so that they're not paying attention and let the invisibility wear off. I'm just going to have been there the whole time without them noticing. Like, I don't want it to be a dramatic reveal. It's just at some point one of them will notice that I'm there. And sure. I will be just casually leaning.
Okay. So the invisibility expires and you're sort of in the corner.
Looking nonchalant.
Now we're going to find out how long it takes. First, the manager. And your father. So, the manager and your father are talking. Your father's starting to sign some paperwork and so on. The manager is facing you. You're basically almost behind your father. Manager notices first. He kind of looks shocked at you. And then basically mouths at you, "What's going on?" Looking at you. Your father hasn't noticed that he has noticed or anyone else is there. He's still doing paperwork.
I'm just going to give him a little frown and a tiny, subtle shake of the head.
Sorry. Your son is in the room, sir. I don't know for how long that's been. It shouldn't have happened. Your father puts down the pen. Stands and turns towards you. And his face is reddening. And you're basically seeing, like, finally that passivity, that facade is dropping. And he is furious. He hasn't said a word. He is furious.
I'm going to look over his shoulder at the manager and just say, "Could you give us a moment?" Because I don't want him to lose it in front of the manager.
Before your father can even like respond, the manager takes his cue and exits.
Smart man.
What are you doing? Why? Why do you do this? I do nothing. I do nothing but try and make this work. Why? Why are you here? What are you doing?
I don't say anything. I just go to hug him.
He backs away. Just get out and let me fix the family. While you're hesitating,
yeah,
he literally picks up a chair, slams it against the wall. Just get out.
No.
He stands like right up towards you. Just let me fix this. He's literally got veins bulging. His hands are clenching and unclenching.
You're doing an amazing thing, and I am grateful, and I have never had this, as much respect for you as I do right now, but you need my help.
He turns away.
My body language is very deferential. Sure. I'm trying to de-escalate the conflict, but I'm also not letting him get his own way.
He literally just turns in place with his back towards you. His hands are clenching and unclenching. Clenching and unclenching. And he finally basically relaxes his hands and you see his shoulders kind of arch downwards. And he begins breathing again. Bearing in mind he was there for almost like 15 seconds. What do you propose, Hamid?
That you let me support you. That you let me be a part of this family. That you for once let anyone else in this family take on any responsibility. I will follow your lead. I will do what you ask me if you keep me involved. I know that I was a stupid kid. I know that I've made my mistakes. But I want you to see the man I have become. Trust me. Salah was falling apart under the pressure, and what you are doing is incredible. But if this is your plan, you won't be there to help him afterwards. And this is not, unfortunately, the only problem he has created. If you are dealing with this one, then I will deal with the other part of the situation that he's gotten himself into. And we need to be coordinated in those responses. Father, let me help you.
Okay, I am going to cut back to the shenanigans, as it were, because if nothing else, Alex isn't good with conflict. So Alex is going to jump away from conflict to a completely different, far more bearable.
It's a mechanical conflict.
Mechanical conflict, yes. Fine. I can rely on rules. Yes.
No conflict, just fighting!
With that in mind, Grizzop.
I cast Loud Hands again. that's really bad. Another four.
Another four?
Yeah.
You might be able to save one of them if you keep going.
All right, sorry. Yeah, okay, here we go.
Azu, you're up.
Wait, so someone said that they're going to attack, right?
Well, they threw a bottle at me.
Oh, yeah. Okay, but that...
It dinged.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, it dealt you two damage. You probably have a cut.
You also heard someone say, "Shut up, Terry."
Yes,
you don't know why.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? And that was in English.
Okay. All right. So Azu sort of touches her face where the glass was, and she's like, "Huh? That's not happened for a while." And then she gets her axe ready, and she is like, "I do not wish to do this, but if you must..."
I kill the entire room! What do you do?
I guess I look for whoever...
You are surrounded by people who are not your friends.
Oh, any of them moving towards me?
All of them.
Do you have the cleave feet?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I think I have, like, a special cleave thing.
You have great cleave.
Yes.
Every time you hit one of them, you could just turn and hit the next one. You could literally, potentially, you could hit all of them that are within range this round.
Because you're probably one shot.
As long as you keep succeeding, you will be able to hit everyone you can reach.
Bryn is correct. You can keep going as long as each attack is against a new person, and as long as your attack is successful, it's basically no limit.
Do you not have to KO them?
No. That's 3.5.
But you can't cycle back to the same person, so you can't matrix it. And
you can hit each person once.
Do you want to give it a go?
Each starts the round in range, and each attack is successful.
So, give me the first roll. This, I'm not even going to get damage first. Let's just deal with this one at a time.
Oh god, please don't be another one. Oops.
That's it.
23.
Yeah. That's a hit. A go again. Same dice.
Oh.
24.
That's a hit.
She is technically taking a penalty for causing non-lethal damage. 15.
Ooh, let me check something. Yeah, carry on. They do not have high AC.
27.
That's a hit.
How many are there? 29.
Keep going.
Oh! Natural one.
So, I'm not even going to get damage because this is going to dive down a rabbit hole. Five of them.
You just wave through them, swinging.
It's like watching someone, like, harvest corn. Finally, the last one is a huge wild swing, and your axe manages to bury itself into like a timber support. You tear it free of the support, and the roof starts cracking a bit. You hear a barman in the distance go, "Oh no!
No! Sorry. Can you help?"
Meanwhile, all you see around you are ashen faces. And everyone begins fleeing.
Oh, thank God.
And I'll take a break there and be back in a couple of minutes. And welcome back. So, Sasha, can you now give me an acrobatics check with your crowd dodger ability?
So basically, so she can continue standing there while people flee.
Yeah, basically, it is a rout. Are you getting swept along or are you just not?
So that would be an acrobatics thing?
Yep.
5 plus 13 plus 2, yeah, so 20.
Yeah, you're fine. Basically, everyone begins fleeing. They start beating up one another to get out faster. So actually, this starts turning almost into a brawl
You know who isn't fleeing? The guy with no legs.
Sorry, sorry. Okay, right.
Don't you talk for my characters. He wakes up and begins shuffling away.
No. Don't move. It's going to be really bad. Look, I'm trying to put them back.
Let him go.
They begin yelling in a language that you do not speak. Funnily enough, fairly universal.
I'm just going to try and get one more lay on hands because I'm pretty sure I can at least get one of them to stick.
You know what? Roll me.
I'm trying, just trying to basically nip.
How many
flesh,
more have you got? How many have you got?
5.
Use 3 and tell me what you get.
Okay. 4. Then that's 13. 16. No, 19. Sorry.
19?
Yeah.
Use another one and they might leave with their legs.
Ooh, a further 10.
Yes.
What, both legs?
So.
I'm trying.
It's magical healing. It's pretty special.
Good news, bad news?
No, just good news, please.
Fair enough.
You gave me the choice.
So you managed to heal the legs so that at a glance, you know what, they're scarred, but they're there.
Stuck one on backwards.
He's
come back.
One is missing a kneecap.
He's not going to be walking away. So, they're still there. But he could probably get someone to get to a healer and do a fix-up.
I'm going to grab him, not by the legs, by the shoulders, try and drag him back to a bartender saying, "This man needs a healer! Get him to a healer, all right?"
At this exact moment...
Best combat ever.
Sasha's drunken ally bursts into, through the bar brawl and is stood there completely... just
naked,
annihilated, holding.
It just sounded like that was where the sentence
holding
was
going. The empty gin bottle in one hand, and what appears to be some kind of bin lid in the other.
Oh my god, it's Captain America!
And he's just spinning, around, yelling incoherently. And he's just stood there. The fight. He's just now placed himself in your midst. As the brawl starts to die down, as enough people get out that they can all fit out of the door at the same time.
I would like to, stop him and be like, "You can put those down."
Roll your natural one, then.
Yeah, roll me a diplomacy check.
Yeah.
Still the same episode, you're not allowed to do this.
Don't give me 17 ultimatums.
Plus what?
7, I think.
I'll let you be too effective again.
Okay. That's just a tick. I've got nothing in there.
So is your base charisma?
So that's 20.
20?
Yes. It's all right.
Is it, though? Is it?
No, but I don't
want to hurt you. It always happens. No, it's my curse. I'm so sorry.
Your curse?
I'm so sorry, everyone. I brought this on you.
No.
This is all that happens. I'm the worst thing to happen to Cairo. I'm the reason for the sand. I'm the reason. He just drops the bottles. It's me, everyone. Just get me!
As he throws his arms around
he's like
him.
Beating his chest. Why? It's Why me. Do I do this to everywhere I go? I'm so sorry, everyone. I'm so sorry.
What species is this person?
Human.
Okay, in which case Azu just doesn't know what to do. Just wraps her arms around him like in like a bear hug. So not only is he no longer flapping, flailing, you know, she's like, "It will be all right. Whatever happened, we can fix it."
So I am going to cut back to Hamid. Hamid, I'm not going to RP this because it's going to take a long time, and we're kind of unlike most campaigns. We're on a bit more of a time limit. I am basically going to give you an info dump from your dad's side. You can tell me what you're going to tell him, and then long story short, we need to figure out what your game plan is going forward, but I'm not going to RP this entire conversation because just in terms of dramatic silences, we don't have the episode time.
Sure.
So, with that in mind, basically, your father's plan was a last ditch because when the meritocrats came into the arrangement with regards to this specific vault and the things it contains, it was with a sort of no wiggle room policy. Your father has made things sort of... He's tried to cover up debts before and things like that.
Well, he's done some covering up for me.
But when it was you, it still technically counted as an accident.
Yeah.
This was not, and it's frankly, it's not in his ability to do, and the fact it's on the meritocratic grounds means he's actually, for the first time, he's plucking at straws.
Yeah.
And what it comes down to is he isn't even aware yet of the stuff to do with Barrett, really. Like, your brother explained...
So I am going to explain that and say that I have dealt with this person before, that I know someone who used to work for him who now works for me, which I guess only stretching the truth slightly, and that, you know, that if he can deal with the, you know, the official meritocratic problems, I will be able to deal with Barrett. That's my line.
Then your father basically says what it comes down to is the only way he can deal with the meritocratic problem is taking the fall and hoping Salah the Younger doesn't do anything stupid to mess up the plan. He doesn't have anything else. He doesn't have any other plan at this point.
I'm going to explain that what Salah needs and that what he's never had and what I needed that I'd never had before in the family is to be given responsibility. That, you know, that every mistake we ever made was always fixed. And we were never, although we were punished, we were never given responsibility. And that's what makes people grow. And so I'm going to say, look, if you can't be head of it anymore, and I've got the mercenary company, we have to make Salah the head of the family business. And that he won't be good at that. He's, you know, he's not, he doesn't have the head for numbers, but with the right people around him, and if we, you know, if he's not going to be able to have the full reins like my father has, but with the right people around him, he is good at knowing other people. You know, he makes friends well, and he will be able to run it if he has the right people helping him. And it is that level of responsibility and understanding the sacrifice that our father is making for him will make him grow up. That's.
Okay,
that's my
pitch,
basically.
I'm going to jump into
basically.
The RP at this point.
Yeah.
That way we've sort of, you know, compressed things a lot.
Oh, yeah, because this was a tortuous, difficult conversation.
The manager came in, basically was told, don't come back until your father steps out, and did warn that he is going to have to notify the authorities. Like, you're not both leaving this with everything sort of still up in the air. Your father sort of is looking haggard now. You know, the tie's come undone, his jacket's on the back of the chair, and he's leaning across basically a boardroom looking at you.
Hammond still looks immaculate.
Won't work. I understand what you're saying, and I'm not saying you're wrong. But we have two problems here. One, he's not in a fit state now, and two, even if he was, Hammond, your brother killed someone. I didn't want him to head into a meritocratic custody, but that doesn't mean that we... He can't just...
No, of course. I'm sorry, that was silly of me. He can't be rewarded.
Saira can take over.
Will she leave her current job? She loves it so much.
Who is going to be better placed to deal with the fallout from this than your sister, a representative of Apophis?
She'd be amazing at it, I don't deny that.
As for your brother, just because I don't want him in a meritocratic prison doesn't mean that I'm going to make this disappear.
Right. You're right.
Sayera will head the family. I will need you to make arrangements so that your brother is kept away from people. I don't want him harming anyone else. And then I'll have to go. And I'll take the meritocratic sentence. I think that's the best that we can manage.
Okay.
I go to hug him again. Like, he rejected my hug earlier on, but and I respected that, but I'm going to try again at this point in the conversation.
He steps back and instead offers you a hand, like a handshake hand, but it's not aggressive, and it's like staring you dead in the eye, and it is not a... It's not a power move. This isn't a Trumpian handshake, let's put it that way.
I pause briefly. I look slightly disappointed, but then I actually go for it, and I shake hands for him and with him for the first time as hopefully equals.
That's certainly what the impression that you're getting. I'm going to jump back to the pub. By virtue of everyone else fleeing, it's kind of those times, you know, when they say they ask for volunteers and everyone else steps back. Mm. You're sort of left in the room, Sasha, unless you actively decide to flee.
No, she's deliberately there. She picks up a miraculously unspilled glass.
Oh, of course, there's always one.
Is just standing there sipping from it as people pour away.
The bartender has basically taken your casualty off your hands.
Good.
And the place is rather quiet, and now all that's left are staff basically trying to clean it up and giving everyone a wide berth because they're also not foolish enough. Your paladins, like,
well,
who's gonna believe them?
Thanks for that.
What?
Guys.
Sasha, we found you.
run straight towards you and like leap up to be like, yeah.
I can't do that because I'm embracing a strange man. They're there.
Good to know that when a woman wants a quiet drink.
Halfway through this sentence. Unless you dodge, I plow into your chest and, like, grab you in sort of a weird sort of spider hug.
Okay, she just doesn't respond at all. She's just standing there.
Okay. And you're kind of... So I'm basically hanging off your chest going like, Sasha!
It's more than Hamid ever managed.
Yeah. Hamid respects people's boundaries.
Yeah.
Rizop's a bit drunk.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I forgot about that.
Well, okay. Great. You found me.
What are women? Wizards?
I'll drop off at this point.
But like, we were worried about it. You just disappeared.
Yes, we were worried. There.
I can handle myself.
We couldn't lose you.
Well,
I didn't mean to.
Not because we thought you were like in danger.
No.
Just because.
Well, we're trying to have a drink.
We have friends stick to...
Together.
Together. Is that... Did we...
Lama, lama, lama.
Did we... Ding-a-ding-a-dong. Did we screw
up? No. I'm not letting Alex get away with that.
I just ignore
that. That is not okay.
I was trying to have a good conversation and GM swans in with a silly...
That's what GMs do, right? They have to sabotage RP.
I assume that Grizzle has slid down.
Yeah, yeah, I dropped off when I started actually having a conversation. Like, kind of looking at you like,
Okay.
I don't want to do it.
Azu heads over, dragging the crying human along.
No, I just... I guess you guys didn't... It's just a lot. It's a lot. But you're right. We've got a job to do.
No, that wasn't my point.
Let's get back to the job.
I wasn't. That wasn't the point. I was just. We wanted to be here for you because you know you're a friend and we care. It's not. Like, I don't know. We're not trying to fix it. Can't fix it.
Look, it's I mean, you should probably spend your time making friends with people that are going to be around.
Oh, I'm not in it for, like, efficiency or something. No.
Well, that's an idiot. I mean, who are you going to start podcast projects with? No, think about people's schedules.
I'm just going to, like, poke you in the... For height-wise, I guess, like, the thigh?
But, like, no. We care about you.
Yes, you specifically.
Because you're you.
Not... And you're important.
Yeah. You're not just the...
I mean, she looks at Azu a little blankly, like, we've had one conversation.
Sorry.
All right, I guess. Oh. Look, fine.
Ooh, don't deserve friends like you.
I also found a new friend.
I mean...
Look. Okay, no.
What is he trying to... I think the guy might know something about the weather. Oh!
Azu, like, picks the guy up and sets him on his feet. Do you know about the weather?
It's all my fault.
But
everything's
why?
It's my fault. Because I'm cursed.
Really?
The curse!
I thought it was...
The curse!
He begins beating his chest and heading over to the nearest bottle that has alcohol in it.
The curse!
No. It's Hamid's family that kept killing people, but sure. So maybe it's your curse.
I'm going to grab Sasha while Azu's, like, dealing with this guy.
Yeah.
And just, like, kind of... Try and swing you round so you're not looking at that guy. Be like,
if you need to take time, all right? Look, we didn't come here to try and be like, got to get back to work. So I'm not trying to force you, right? Like, just take
work the... is... No, let's get back to the job. Let's sort that out. It's always, you know, good to get things done, innit? What's this curse, mate?
The curse!
Yeah, that one.
Okay, Azu's going to attempt to calm him down. She's not going to slap him.
Knock his head clean
off! It's okay, Grizzle will heal it and then it'll be fine.
Oh, no. He doesn't have any heels left, does he?
I got one.
She's going to, like, just gently sort of tap his face and be like, can you... Ooh! Is there something that I could make him not drunk with?
Is there an...
You might have create water. Did you say create water was a spell?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Then no, I'm afraid you can't sober him up. Unless you have...
We're in a bar!
I didn't take
Sasha water. Unless you have get you, some water.
Explicitly in Pathfinder they did mention that you can use cure poisons, etc. But I don't believe you have that either.
No, I don't.
You're really good at hitting things.
I've got endure elements.
So do I.
Is alcohol an element?
No.
But you can't...
Don't need endure elements, got a beer jacket.
So Sasha's going to pour the drink she was drinking from over the guy's head.
Okay. It's what I deserve!
He drops to his knees, and he seems to be as drunkenly as possible replicating the stereotype from every single bad intro ever, dripping with
it's
water.
Platoon. It's
platoon. Yeah, yeah, arms out your side. Why
do
I
do
love
these
this
things?
Guy? He is such a drama queen.
Look, you have to pull yourself together. You cannot...
Only so the world can tear me apart again! Why?
Well, you were alone before, and now we are here, and we won't let it be torn apart by you or anyone else, so explain, please.
I'm going to cut back to Hamid. So, unless you say otherwise, I'm basically going to have to montage this one.
Yeah.
The manager returns. Your father has a hushed conversation with the manager. However, unlike before, it is a conversation upon where you and your father are side by side and he is talking with the manager and you are there, as opposed to you are ancillary.
Yeah.
The manager heads off and returns with a number of meritocratic, let's be honest, they're basically agents. It's plain clothes because of the bank and so on. And they formally, your father steps out, and in the foyer surrounded by people, your father's formally charged. He offers himself up. He doesn't give you any sign of affection, but you do get a nod of a sort of recognition to you. And while he was talking with the manager earlier, it was clear that the manager will work with you in terms of what the plan was for Sayo to take over, etc., etc. And your father's let out. The manager, it's not great. He starts to adopt the same manner with you as he did with your father, and basically starts walking through the paperwork, and it takes a while. Unless you're going to put any weird changes or anything, he'll basically put the initial paperwork down with you there and then, and then you can head out. However, bear in mind that there is a crowd waiting to talk to you outside.
Oh, yeah. With public entity. I'll be very pleasant with the manager. You know, like, my father is stern and officious, and Hamid is hopefully friendlier, so perhaps that can be a relationship for me on a better footing. And when he starts working with Syrah, she's also just very charming, so that should be fine. God, the press. Well, I'm going to go out.
It's chaos. Like, it's utter chaos. Because combine the fact that the entire city's basically been in uproar thanks to both the storms and they don't know this U-turning off all of the internet. Plus now a big, juicy scandal from the Heady Heights. Like, it's an absolute circus.
I'm going to give a pretty evasive statement. I would say something like, we're still trying to unravel the details. Obviously, the Tefat Tahan family has been going through some very difficult times recently. We've all been under a tremendous amount of stress. We'd appreciate our privacy, but we'll have a fuller statement for you all in a little while. Thank you for your time.
And then what's the plan?
Get back in the coach, go back to the family home, and hope the others know to come back there at some point.
Sure. All I will say is that it's chaos pretty much all the way. There's already chaos outside the gates. The gate guards are earning their pay at this point, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump back to, I believe I left you mid-apocalypse now.
Platoon.
Platoon, I'm so sorry.
I have asked him to explain.
What was that to explain?
Everything.
I know.
Yes. Actually losing my patience. Right?
Of course you would. The only friend I've ever had taken from me in its prime. And it's no better than I deserve.
Oh my gosh.
All right, maybe just leave.
It's all my fault.
During this conversation, I'm just standing back a bit, just like concernedly looking at the back of Sasha's head.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think this guy is our responsibility, and he doesn't seem to have anything useful to tell us, so let's go.
But he knows about the weather.
Does he, or is he a drunk?
I don't feel right leaving him here.
There's spells to get rid of
drunk. What is your name?
Oh, good question.
The person sort of stands, staggers, that sort of clothing torn, and they adopt what appears to be an attempt at a Byronic pose with someone with less than optimal balance.
We've met Byron.
Yeah, it's wasn't great.
If he's vertical, then it's not a Byronic pose.
In which case, it's an excellent Byronic pose.
Right. He's slumped drunkenly. Yeah, very Byronic. Yeah.
Howard Carter, thanatologist, world-renowned stenographer, coder. And I am the cause of all that is wrong in the world. I brought this down. It was my fault. I delved too much. And it's all my fault. The curse, you see, the curse.
It's good to finally meet you, person that's behind it all.
I know! I know, all I needed was the Rosetta translation. With that, I could have done my studies, and with the studies, I could have finally exposed it, but no!
Wait, hang on.
No!
Did you?
I can't get my funding. Someone takes that, it just goes. I can't get my Rosetta Stone, because apparently it can't be translated anymore. And so I try and do it without, don't I? I try and dig around on my own, and everything goes wrong.
And it lean kind of from behind Azu.
So do you know anything about brain machines?
What?
No? Oh.
Machines made of brains.
So I thought I caught up.
What nonsense! What are you possibly talking about?
What?
It's the tomb!
Oh, right.
The tomb has ruined the world. It was hubris. I dared to delve beneath the very base of merit. Dragon vaults, and it's all
I deserve it.
Right.
I'm just sorry I took the world with me.
Well, it's good that that worked out for you then. That sounds sorted. You did wrong and you got punished. That's not usually how it works, mate. So I'm kind of glad that's already wrapped up.
Sorted. I'm going to end the episode there.
Good. Now we can be off.
All right, then.
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Spells to get rid of.
What is your name?
Oh, good question.
Double check.
Oh, well, he's written down, so he's important.
Oh, he's important. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
No, I have my list of generic names.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Bob. But Bob McJim.
I've already used both of them.
Jimity Bobberton here.
Bobby Jim Jims.
Unless it's Windy perfectly clear. Jacks. We're definitely in an edit right now.
Jimmer 3. Bobalonia.
Maximus Decimus Bob.
Bobness.
Just Bobness.
Just Bobness sounds like a British, one of those AI generated British towns.
But it's Bobness Regis.
Just Bobness.
Little Bobness. Upper Jim.
I'm ready.
Goodness me.
I like that
great
move.
Great cleave.
It's what it's built for.
It was excellent.
Yeah.
What it's built
what
for.
Good advice. Who asked me to do... Who told me to do that? Was it you?
Sounds like the kind of thing I'd do, in fairness.
It was either you or Paul. I feel a bit bad for James. We were waiting for him to level up enough to get that for like the entire time. And then you're sworn in. And knock him down like dominoes.
It's also written in my handwriting, as far as I can tell.